Together we built the place and we lived in it for 30 plus years. And it's all gone. Totally destroyed by fire.
The devastation, it's like a kick to the stomach.
The roof was completely gone.
All of our memories being wiped away.
The rain is what got
20 minutes of sheer terror.
And you can feel in your body.
I watched the fire move down the canyon.
The rumbling of the house.
And it's gone now. The tornado took
it. Debris started falling down on me. It was so quick. All I could say is I thought I was getting ready to get buried alive. But when I got up, thank you, Jesus. And I held my husband's hand and we both were there. He was okay. And I was okay.
You have your whole family right there. And you can hear things hitting into the building. And my son started screaming, "We're gonna die, we're gonna die." My mom said, "We are not dying today. In the name of Jesus, we are not gonna die."
A lot of noise, a lot of wind, fear. Pure fear. There's a rough few minutes. When it comes through with a fury, I'll tell you that.
There are some people that I know that have passed away, but, you know, you get one shot at life.
It was pulling the doors as I was trying to keep it closed.
There wasn't any house.
The whole house shut.
Like a bomb went off.
I'm hearing propane tanks blowing up.
You could hear everything falling, the debris.
Feeling your body.
I was just holding on to my girl so tight.
And then the kids just started singing. And it was just an absolute peace washed over us.
All I could say was, when I came out, tell God thank you.
I thank the Lord and tell God thank you, Kiki.
We had to tell him thank you because he held us. He kept us.
Tell God thank you.
This is somebody's home. This is their hopes, their dreams. Somebody raised their family here. And it's gone.
Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that you only looking for people that you can use to surrender themselves to you. So here we are, Lord. We know without you, we can do nothing. This team have gathered together here to be your hands, to be your feet. And we want you to shine through us. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Thank God for volunteers.
Your heart breaks for these people, and you really just want to do anything you can do to help them and comfort them.
I know how God has touched my life. If I can bring that blessing to someone else, I want to be a part of it.
Even if I don't know how to tear down a moldy wall or fix a roof, I can help with their kids.
My kids, the first trip I went on, they were like, "Mom." And I said, "Hey, I'm doing this."
Don't hide your light.
I'm just happy to be here and serve this community in Jesus' name.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus and show his love to people in a time like this. That's why we came out.
I'm trying to love because I was first love.
So many volunteers showing the love of God. That's what made the difference and made my strength build back up.
The whole last 6 days has been quite an experience. I don't care to go through it again, but I wouldn't change it for nothing. I don't see how it could have been any better.
Come and see what God did.
A storm would have brought us all together.
Yes. Yes.
We come today to dedicate this to God's glory.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You thank God in the good times and the bad times. And when you know him as your Savior, you know how to thank him. You know how to give him praise because he's in control of your life. And when you trust him and obey him and live for him, hallelujah. He said he'll take care of me and he'll take care of you.
All right, we got it.
Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
What did you ever do? What have you ever done to change your world? I think of this video, I think it demonstrates what can be done to influence the lives of others. And I just, again, praise God for the ministry of Samaritan's Purse and how they go into devastated areas all around the world. As we mentioned, Hurricane Helene in North Carolina, the wildfires in LA, I understand that there's tragedy in Sudan. So it's not just in the United States, it's around the world. And Samaritan's Purse has a ministry of disaster relief, but also, as I thought was very vividly shown there, that it's in the name of Jesus. And this morning we're going to be talking about making a difference in your world, the world around you, in the name of Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. As we continue in our study, 1 Timothy chapter 1. You've heard of random acts of kindness. This morning we're going to be talking about intentional acts of kindness. Intentional acts of kindness and how you can be a part of that. Paul was writing a letter to Timothy. He challenged him to minister the truth of God in such a way that God's people would know how to conduct themselves in the household of God. And this wasn't instructive just to Timothy. It was for Timothy to pass on to others. And we have this inscripturated before us so that we then can live out these truths as well. Our strategy statement says that we connect, grow, and give back. We connect, our desire, our strategy is to connect people with God and others, other people of God, to grow in their faith, and then to give back, to serve because of the blessing that we have received from God. And we want to pass that on to others. We want to give back. We want to serve others. In this text here, Paul commanded Timothy to show how the people of God would conduct themselves in the household of God. But he commanded him also then to call out false teachers. We talked about the nature of that false teaching last week. Then we come to this passage here. And he, in light of chapter 1 and verse 5, encourages love. So even, I think, when we call others out for false teaching, or as we minister one another to one another with these truths or others, it's out of love. Love is our motivation. So that must be behind even our text here today. Follow as I start reading at verse 12. Paul writing, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here you see Paul using a personal testimony from his own life, his own testimony to illustrate, to teach that the law is worthless to change hearts. We just went through that last week. The law is worthless to change hearts. It is the gospel that was entrusted to him that must be ministered to others that would change the hearts of the world around him for those who would believe. So here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is God empowers you to give back. God's the one who empowers you to give back. Again, we want to help people connect, grow, and give back. Connect with one another. Grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to learn to walk in obedience to Him. And then to give back. Give back to God out of a grateful heart for all that He's done in His great salvation. As well as to give back to others in ministry. The grace of God enables you to do just that. To serve. We're talking about service, giving back. Paul says in verse 12, I thank Him who has given me strength. Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to this service. The word service here, very interestingly, is the word from which we get the word deacon. The word deacon is servant. And I'm so happy to say that we have seven individuals who hold the office of deacon, of servant, and their desire is to serve the congregation. That's their heart. And I'm just so blessed that they have the office, kind of the recognition of their servant spirit and appointed by the church, called by the church to be deacons in that office. But they are ministering to so many of you who are deacons as well. Deacons, by way of what you do, you serve the Lord through the ministry of FBC. And as you go from these four walls, he thanks God who gave him the strength to do just that, that appointing him to his service. The old adage says, when God calls, he enables. That's true. And if you are a child of God, you are called. Paul was called. He's passing that on to Timothy. Timothy's passing it on to his church there at Ephesus. And through his writings, Paul's writings, he's passing it on to us. We're called to his service. So in light of that, claim his enablement. He has enabled you to do what he desires of you to do. And so thank him. You thank him for the strength and the enablement that he's given you to do just that. I want to look at some appeals out of this passage here this morning. The first one's found in verses 12 and 13. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to this service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. Here's the first appeal, and that is, give back in spite of your past. Give back to the Lord and to others in spite of your past. Look at the tense of what's described there in verse 13, all right? He says, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy. I was, that's in the past tense. As the great philosopher of Lion King, Pumbaa, the warthog, says, put your behind in the past. It's past. And I fear all too often there are those who have come to Jesus and have believed that they're stuck and they're hamstrung because of the past. How could God ever use me because of what has happened in my life or because of what I did? Well, I want to encourage you to give back, regardless to your past and relationship, first of all, to God. Paul was a blasphemer. He says right here in the text, I was a blasphemer. The word here literally means stupid speech. Think about that. Paul, as a Pharisee, was a teacher of the law. And yet he opposed Christ And the cause of Christ, that is unbelief. He was doing this in unbelief. And Paul's own case is an argument against the false teacher. Why? Because he was one of them at one time. Right? He was out there a proponent of the law, thinking you had to go through, we talked about that last week, right? You had to go through all of these things and you had to check them all off. And if you didn't do them, then you weren't good enough. And so they tried and tried and tried, not realizing it was the purpose of the law was to reveal the character of God and realize that you could not live up to it, to show that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. But Paul was a blasphemer. Years ago, when I was working with youth ministry, we had a young man he was an exchange student from Germany. His name was Olaf. And we had a Thursday morning prayer breakfast with the students in the school. And we had upwards to 20 kids sometimes come out. And Olaf was invited, and he started coming to our prayer breakfast there at the school. And he was a proclaimed atheist. I don't believe any of this stuff. The kids still just reached out to him, loved on him, invited him to youth group. He heard the gospel, and Olaf, who was a proclaimed atheist, surrendered to Jesus and came to God in his great salvation. And you're going to see Olaf in heaven. Here is one who, as we would say with Paul, blasphemed against God. I don't believe it. I don't believe God even exists. And then surrendered to God in his great salvation. There may be testimonies out here of that same nature, a blasphemer, but God can save even the blasphemer. You give back regardless to your relationship to God. You give back regardless to your relationship with others. Paul was a persecutor. He persecuted the early church. He even murdered Christians. And someone in Paul's situation could say something like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm so thankful for my salvation, but who is going to listen to me after all that I've done to all of these other people? All the things that I've said and all the things that I've done and my hatred, and the hatred is tantamount to murder, according to the scripture. But Paul literally killed people. And was excited about Christians being killed. Who's going to listen to me after doing all of that? We see here he was still willing to give back in spite of what he had done toward other people. Maybe you've done that. And you've come to Jesus and you're saying, man, I don't know how God could use me after all that I've done or how I've treated other people. Well, if necessary, I encourage you to go to those individuals or individual and say, you know what, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I've asked his forgiveness. I'm asking your forgiveness. And make it right. It's Paul's testimony. He was giving back in light of forgiveness. But you also give back regardless to your past and relationship to yourself. Paul was violent. The word here in the ESV is insolent opponent. He was a violent man. And this is the severest of the three terms that you have listed here. The word indicates not just outward violence, but the manner or spirit that motivates one's actions. He had violence in his heart. He was an insolent opponent in his heart. And he wanted to see people done in out of his heart. It may have been pride. It may have been haughtiness, disrespect. But this may be the most difficult aspect of your service or ministry, because you know what was in your heart. you may have said things and you may have done things to other people, but you know how deep that was, that insolence was in your heart when you came to Jesus. And you know, I think that's why we depend on the grace of God. 1 John 1:9, you can quote it with me if you'd like. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? You think about that. And I talk to people all the time, and they say, I know that God has forgiven me because I've asked him, and I believe 1 John 1:9. And I've gone to that individual that I've wronged, and I've asked their forgiveness, but man, it's just so burdensome on my heart. I just can't believe I did that. I just can't seem to forgive myself. And I try to look that person in the eye and come alongside and say, let me ask you this, my friend, and I'm asking you here this morning, if that's where you are, is your forgiveness greater than God's? Is your forgiveness greater than God's? I hope that's a freeing thought, because the answer is, there's no way. And what you have to do is you have to believe that God's forgiveness is sufficient to take care of your sin problem. And that is a blessing when you come to that realization. And it's freeing, because you realize that no longer hinders you from your relationship with God and your relationship with others. Forgiveness from the Lord, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for you, is the greatest thing you'll ever experience. As the hymn says, burdens are lifted at Calvary because of confession, repentance, and his forgiveness that he's provided for you and me. What a blessing. And it frees you up to serve him. And I'll tell you what, don't keep going back there. If your mind keeps going down that rabbit hole and saying, oh, but I know, I was so bad and I treated them so bad and I know they forgive me and I know God, I just can't seem to get over it. You have to say, God, that is stinking thinking. That is sinful thinking. And what I need to do is confess that kind of thinking as sin, because it's not believing what Jesus did on the cross is sufficient to take care of my sin problem. And when you confess that, and it may mean that you need to do that time and again, just say, God, I can't go down that road. Thank you for your forgiveness. Be settled in that. And I ask you for your help to help me carry on. And allow that to free you up to serve him out of a grateful heart. Go back to the significance of the cross. Remember last week? It's not just, I trusted Jesus as Savior, I'm good to go. I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and it makes a difference every day, every moment of every day throughout my entire life. I go back to the cross and realize he did that for me. It was a done deal. I don't have to keep getting saved over and over and over again. I just have to be reminded what was accomplished on my behalf at that particular time, right? Frees you up to serve. Paul was ignorant and unbelieving. He thought he was right. In fact, turn to Acts. Keep your finger here in 1 Timothy. Acts 26. Paul thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting the Christians. Acts 26, if you're taking notes, jot down verses 9 through 11. Paul, giving his testimony, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. He was so insolent and so angry at Christians and thought he was doing God a favor. He would chase them to foreign countries, foreign cities, to try to do them in. And maybe there's a radical here this morning. Maybe there's someone watching or listening. And I want to encourage you that that gives you hope. Hope for change. You don't have to keep going down that road. There's hope and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So coming to Jesus after having a marred background, you could say, how could I ever minister effectively? Well, look at verse 14. How could anybody ever listen to me? How could anybody ever have an impact? Go back to 1 Timothy 1, verse 14, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1, 14. How could we ever have an impact? After all that we've done and things that we've said about God and the way we treated other people, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. These were Paul's three motivating factors or forces: grace, faith, and love. That's how he could keep going. Matthew Henry said this in his commentary: the greatest sin is no barrier to your acceptance with God. Let me read that again. The greatest sin, your greatest sin, I might say, is no barrier to your acceptance with God, nor to your being employed for him, if it be truly repented of. You repent of that past, and you come to Jesus, and it's no barrier to being used by him. In fact, I just want to take a moment right now. Let's just bow our heads. And if there's anything holding you back, I encourage you to confess that before the Lord. Thank him for his forgiveness and commit to serving him faithfully. Let's pray. As you confess those things before the Lord, anything that may be holding your back, that boat anchor that's just keeps eating away at your heart, that you can't think there's any way possible God could use you, confess that as sinful thinking. Say, God, I believe that you've forgiven me because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for your grace. And I pray that you free me up to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Paul was thankful, verse 12, to the Lord who had given him strength. Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to this service. The word strength there in that verse means enablement. So when you serve the Lord, you realize that the only way that you're doing this is because of the strength that the Lord gives you to do that. Whatever that may be. Now, I'm encouraging you to think about that. Starting this week, as we launch into starting today, be thinking, I am doing this in the name of Jesus. I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. If you say, you know, I want to take brownies to my neighbor and thank God for the ingredients to do that. Thank God for the recipe to do that and all the ingredients that go along with that, and for the strength to do that, the knowledge to do that, for the stove to bake them, for the strength to walk them over to your... God, he's in the center of it all. You acknowledge that, and you thank him for that. If you have the opportunity to shovel your neighbor's driveway or snowblow it or whatever, God, thank you. And I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that strength to be able to do that. God, thank you for the opportunity that I have to minister to the little ones in GLOW, to serve, and so that they can learn of you, but so that God's people have opportunity to worship and learn without being distracted by a bunch of crying. Thank you, God, for the strength, the ability, even the desire to do that. And blast, just so thankful for the faithful folks in our children's and youth ministry. God, thank you for the strength. Think of the Ignite leaders, the youth leaders, stayed up all night with the Ignite just a week ago on the weekend, you know, for an all-nighter. They didn't have to do that. They stayed up all night. God, thank you for the strength to be able to do that. Whatever it is in ministry, as you have opportunity, thank God for the strength to do that. Thank him for the strength to do that. So this brings us to the second appeal, and that is display God's grace while you give back. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Here are a couple thoughts. First of all, tell others of God's grace. Tell others about God's grace. This is a message upon which you can rely and deserves to be heard. It deserves to be accepted by everyone. In essence, Paul was saying, listen, I experienced the grace of God, and I want you to experience that same grace. I didn't deserve it. I know you don't deserve it, but you probably weren't as bad as I was. I'm the chief of sinners. But I want you to know that you can have that same grace through Jesus Christ. Because what he did by dying on the cross was buried and rose again. It's a message that we want everyone to hear. Salvation is a message everyone needs to hear. Christ Jesus came into the world, verse 15, to save sinners. Again, verses 8 through 10 points out that the law just makes that abundantly clear. We're all sinners. Because of that, we need the grace of God. Why? Well, because all are sinners and need a Savior. All are sinners and need a Savior. Another reason why is because Christ died for all. And all need to come to him. Not everyone will. But we sow the seed of his grace, of his great salvation. And realize and communicate that complete pardon and restoration is offered. I think one of the reasons God was able to use Paul is because he was a pretty bad character. Not many people could say he was worse than Paul. In fact, he said, I was the worst. I think that's partly because that was his opinion of who he was. He can save even the worst. And heaven and eternal life are offered. Heaven and eternal life is offered. It's for all who will believe. And the question is, why would you not believe? And there again lies the invitation to come to Jesus for his great salvation. And at the end of the service, I will stand down front here. And if you would like to know more about that, come down front and say, I need to know more about salvation, or I need someone to pray with me. Have someone take you aside and pray with you, or while we're standing out here, or talk to someone who brought you, invited you. If you're here and you don't know a soul, just ask the person next to you. Just say, hey, I need to talk to somebody about my heart, about my salvation. Here's another thought, and that is allow the story of your life to be an example of change. Verse 16, allow the story of your life to be an example of change. Paul says, in light of all of this, I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Think of Paul's drastic and dramatic change was and should be an encouragement for sinners of all time to say, if God could save Paul, he could save me. God can save Paul, he can save me. You know, people are attracted to change. You know, right now we have all these commercials about weight loss, right? You know, and they come on there and, you know, Nutrisystem or Jenny Craig or whatever it is, and I lost 20 pounds, you know, and I lost 25 pounds. Well, I'm going to one-up you. I lost 49 pounds, you know. And then we like it, you know. I won't do it. I can punch my gut out. Teresa would, she would want me to do that. But you know, it just, I, you know, whoa. And then, you know, and the change that we see in people, we're just kind of like, whoa, isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, as awesome as that may be, and it is, it's exciting when you see people change in a dramatic fashion. All the before and after pictures. I'm telling you, the testimonies even represented here in this room are awesome testimony as to the work of God in changing people's lives. I mean, I've heard people say, I can't believe that you were a drunkard and hung out in bars. I can't believe that. You used to do drugs. You were strung out. And look at you. I can't believe it. It's totally different. I can't believe that you lived that kind of lifestyle. I mean, it's just like, really? Wow. And look at you now. I can't believe it. There are testimonies all around this room as to the dramatic change that Jesus can accomplish in the heart of the sinner. Whether it was dramatic and drastic, or whether, as I grew up, Abigail grew up, Christian home, and still came to Jesus. It's still dramatic and drastic because we're all sinners. But I think Paul is a testimony. He says, you know, if God could save Paul, he can save anybody. And in light of that, we give back. We serve. Now, you may be sitting here and you may say, all right, Pastor, so when am I supposed to add this matter of giving back to my busy schedule? I mean, Pastor, I dare you to just follow me through my week. I am just so busy, I cannot possibly add another thing to my busy schedule. So how do I do this? You're telling me that I need to serve, I need to give back. Well, Paul Tripp puts it this way. He says, my job is to make the grace of an invisible Christ visible. How do you do that? Your job is to make the grace of an invisible God visible. How do you do that? Here it is. Listen. You do it all the time. You do it by your facial expressions. That even to think about what you're communicating by the way you look, your facial expressions in relationship to others, by what you say, the tone of your voice, by what you do, how you act, how you behave, along with, and you do that intentionally, and then you, as you have opportunity, make intentional effort to make a difference in the world around you in the name of Jesus. Thanking him for his strength to do that. Keep your eyes open to those opportunities around you. And think, how can I show Christ? How can I show Jesus as indispensable to my world around me? That's what Paul did. He's setting an example for you and me to do just this. So here's the third appeal then, and that is concerning your ministry, is to praise God. When you give back, the result of doing that, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but the result of doing that is to praise God. He says in verse 17, after giving this testimony, an illustration of his life and testimony as to the transformation that took place in his life and how he was serving to the glory of God, the response there is to worship and praise God. He says, to the King of Kings, excuse me, to the King of Ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, to be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You praise God for what he has accomplished in and through you. Thank you, God. That's being grateful. Not to earn some kind of attaboy, but to be grateful. God, thank you. He was so humbled that God would choose to use him. And may that be our testimony. And then also to lead others to praise. To lead others to say, so that they may see your good deeds and not say, wow, look what he did. But they would say, wow, that person loves God and give glory to God for what God has done. And then finally recognize God as the focus of your praise. These efforts that God accomplishes in and through you aren't to be praised. Wow, you made brownies. Wow, that's great. Wow, you shoveled snow or plowed snow or whatever it is. Wow, no, it's not that gets praised. It's God gets praised, whatever that may be. Several years ago, my daughter drew a picture for me. It was for Father's Day. And I thought it was going to be a wildlife picture. You know, I love hunting and fishing. And I thought, sure, that's what it's going to be. And this is cute, you know. Or this is going to be cute. And I opened it up. And immediately I just burst into tears. I thought, oh my goodness. And all I wanted to do was, I just wanted to carry this around with me. I was getting ready to make a chain to put around my neck so that everybody could see the picture that my daughter drew for me. And you look at that picture and say, oh, what's the big deal about that? It's a picture that your daughter drew of you and her when she was 3 years old. With her little three-wheeler that we bought for her birthday. But what touched me about this picture wasn't so much the picture itself, but who drew it. Isn't that why, as parents and grandparents, we put our kids' art on the refrigerator? I mean, we got so much art on the refrigerator with magnets, I think the refrigerator's going to fall over someday. Why? It's not because of the quality of the artwork, although it's the greatest in the world, right? But it's because of who drew it. And when you come to Jesus, it's not about how great you are. When you come to Jesus and he changes your life and he does that heart-changing, life-transforming work in your heart, it's not about you. It's about the one who changed you. It's about him and his greatness. May we go with that kind of an attitude and that kind of a spirit. Now listen. Here, you have some homework this week, all right? Now, don't. All right. I hope this is good homework. I'm encouraging you, in light of what we've learned here today, to do intentional acts of kindness, all right? Starting today, intentional acts of kindness, whatever that may be, and in your mind, you're thinking, I'm doing this because of Jesus, and I want Jesus to get the honor and glory, all right? It'll be exciting to see how that translates into our fellowship even after this service and the members' meeting and the meal to follow and all. And as we go from here, I'm encouraging you, asking you to say, okay, if you're going to take the message that we have here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 to heart, what can I do to change my world? You may not be able to go to L.A. and start building houses, although if you want to, I'm sure they'd appreciate the help. might not be able to go down to North Carolina and start getting sludge and mud out of people's houses. I don't know. You might not be able to do that, but what can you do to change your world and have an impact on the world around you? It may be making brownies for your neighbor. I don't know what that may be, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Keep a track of that. Put it on your notes on your phone. You know, on Sunday I did this, or this, this, and this. On Monday I did this, this, and this. And I'm asking you not to come in next Sunday and think, what did I do? Because that would be like, I'm encouraging to think, what can I do or what am I doing? And I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus and keep track of those things. And I'm going to ask you to write them down on a sheet of paper. I know that's kind of old school, but I want it to be anonymous, right? I'm asking that it be anonymous. And we're going to have a box out there. It has a slot in it, and you can put it in the box. Put your list in the box. Fold it up and don't come in, hey, I got mine, you know, here we go, you know, I understand that we're trying to do it anonymous and discreetly, so, but put it in the box, and what I want to do is I want to say, look at, we probably won't be able to read all of them, but look at what God's people through FBC did this past week to have an impact for Jesus in their lives and the world around them this week. To take what we've learned here today, to take our eyes off of ourselves, and by God's grace and His strength, to live out these truths to His honor and glory. Let's ask God's help to do just that. Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul's testimony here, that by your grace, by faith, by love, he was able to minister faithfully, to give back out of a grateful heart for what you had done by saving his sin-sick soul. And Lord, I pray that would be the motivating factor in our lives, to out of our love for you and our grateful heart because of what you have done to save our souls, that we want to impact our world, our community, our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods for Christ. We need your help. We need your strength. And to thank you that you've promised to give us the strength to do just that. And again, may all of it be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you would, stand and sing with us.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word, Lord. In Corinthians, it says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Lord, help us to be thankful that you give us that strength and that you do count us faithful to be a part of your service, Lord. Help us to go and do so intentionally to be your light, your salt in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello.
Hey, a reminder, we've got the business meeting in about 10 minutes, so those with children, please retrieve them. We'll come back in here, have our business meeting, look at the finances, show the pictures, and then lunch after that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Gotta keep the calm before the storm.
want less, I don't want more. Must bar the windows and the doors to keep me safe, to keep me warm. Yeah, my life. The shore. And my voice becomes the driving force. I won't let this pull me overboard. God, keep my
love.